everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast, a full episode of Championships football. And we're moving ever so close to the end of the champs, where we are hoping for an Old Vic final, because that would just be good for the podcast and be good for a whole heap of recruiters as well to get a pretty competitive game. And both Vic boys have done that this week, as well as the Vic Metro girls, who got off to a very emphatic start this weekend. But we're going to start right on off the top with the Saturday game, which was Vic Country. They got the job done by 11 points, 11-77 to 9-12-66. What were your thoughts of it? Because WA put up a pretty good fight in their final game, but Country just find a way to win, it feels like.
Yeah, they certainly do, and they have players who are able to stand up when the game's on the line. And I think it was really good to see Country get really challenged, because you expect they're going to get challenged against the Allies. That's going to be a really tough test. Obviously, it's a must win for them, really, if they want to win the championships. We know that's not the be all and end all, but yeah, they'll certainly be challenged against Vic Metro as well. I suppose if we start with the midfielders and start with a couple of players who were really challenged and stood up to it in that last quarter, I thought Cooper Hines as a forward was excellent and probably played his best footy of the championships in the last quarter of that game. He kicked the winning goal essentially from about 15 metres out, and then also took two crucial marks inside 50 and was able to run time off the clock. But it was his strength and calmness that were the key factors behind a really, really fine performance by the Dandenong Stingrays co-captain.
Yeah, well, good way to sum it up. But I think on top of that, it was his general footy smarts as well. Like a few really good, generally smart players where he holds his width outside of stoppage, and he gets that loose ball that comes out and he snaps a goal from it. Yep. Little things like that where, you know, where he'd usually be committed to going into that contest and using his frame, he was just a bit smarter inside 50 and made very, very good decisions. So yeah, really topped off probably a good first game as well, but that just builds into a good second game it's good first game, and yeah, built really nicely in this one as well.
Yeah, no, certainly has. Jasper Auger, another one, if we stay on the forwards now, and I thought he backed up that really strong first game and is really now starting to show that he has put a consistent block of form together at championships level. It's been really impressive to see. He's just so creative and quick inside 50, and he's able to get goals from so many different ways, kicked a couple on the weekend, but every time he gets the ball, it looks like he's going to be really damaging.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I thought his intercept rating as well inside 50 took a good intercept where the ball was coming out. Just really crafty finishes and had a really good athletic moment as well. He has a bit of a jump in him.
Yeah, he does.
I reckon at times. Joe Berry is one I'd probably bring up in conversation, where it probably wasn't a four-quarter impactful game from Berry, a bit less than we're used to, but I still think when he had his moments, he was able to do some nice things. Really good stoppage goal. That's called he sneaked through, you know, the front of it and weave through to dribble through a goal. Really good tackle pressure inside 50, I thought, as well, and converted two goals in the end. So whilst it wasn't what we're used to in terms of he can pop up and kick three or four goals, I still thought he did some really good things when he had the opportunity.
He did play higher up the ground as well. Another player that I thought is starting to build into some form after a quieter first game, Archer Day Wicks, 14 disposals and a goal. He took a really big mark as well. You talk about Jasper Auger having that really athletic leap, and obviously Archer Day Wicks has that real athleticism and bounce around about him as well. Brought a bit of energy inside 50, particularly in the first half. He got right on top of his direct opponent. Was really impressive to see. And Jonty Fall had a nice return, and I know you really liked his first quarter in particular.
Yeah, I did. He did quiet down as the game went on. That's the truth about his performance. But you do see those glimpses of why he's so powerful, and he did bring that form. He is built back in the talent league in his first couple of games back. Can create separation so well. Really strong hands. He pushes up the ground as well and is able to impact aerially. So he's building. I think he'll have a breakout game in one of these last two games for sure.
From what we've seen in the talent league, that's a very fair prediction. We'll move to the midfielders now, and I thought Harvey Langford was the best on ground, or certainly alongside Cooper Hines, as being that he was so clean and so smart on quite a wet day. It should be said, out at Claremont. And his acceleration away from stoppage was really impressive as well. So he's one who has really stood up in every representative opportunity that he's been given in 2024. I think you look at what he did in AFL Academy games, obviously had that really strong start to the championships, and then, yeah, was really polished again on Saturday.
Yeah, he was for sure. I loved his defensive tackle pressure as well. That's I always harp on this podcast about how much I love defensive efforts, and thought he showed those really well. Really zippy kicks down the line as well that I thought were just really super productive in transition, and he's just super reliable in the stop with his stoppage craft as well. So didn't really put a foot wrong in that case. Also want to mention how bad that turf was.
Yeah,
that ground, that was terrible. Just a side note. I don't really know how they were allowed to play on a ground like that.
Puts all the more premium on how clean he was below his knees. Xavier Lindsay, another one who was so polished and finished with the best efficiency on the ground. He had the 18 touches, went at 94% efficiency, and finished with a stack of clearances, particularly in the second half when he got the opportunity in the midfield. He took it with both hands.
Oh, he's just so fun to watch in the sense, you know, that he'll take the game on and he's a game winner. He's a match winner. Mm-hmm. So efficient, so super clean with his just his general stoppage craft or that ability to burst out and find that next kick with ease. It's always been, it feels like it comes so easily to him that it's just part of his, doesn't really have to work too hard with it for it, which is just a great thing in his case.
Couple of others just to quickly touch on. I thought Jack O ran really smart patterns and worked really hard, found a fair bit of the footy. And I know that Xavier Rivasich, although not having the same impact that he did in the first game, still popped up and had some really important moments.
Yeah, I have to agree. I was pretty content with Ivasic's second game out. Probably, I feel like he set the bar quite high in his first game. So to meet that again was always going to be a hard task. But he plays his role really nicely in that team. Just that really quick hands around the stoppage just gets things moving really nicely.
We'll move to defence now. A couple of, I think the three players that I want to touch on are Lockie Jakes, Alex Tarru and Toby Trevallier. I think all of them had better first halves than second halves. But if we start with Alex Tarru, his first quarter was sensational. I thought his first game at the National Championships as a late addition to the squad took two big intercept marks and crashed some packs, showed his aggression and almost reckless abandon with the way he attacked the footy and always looked to take the game on as well. Only finished with 10 disposals, but you really noticed him.
Yeah, he was super and looked like it was a seamless transition for him into representative footy. Wasn't afraid to leap at a few contests and put his body on the line in that sense. His positioning was really well set up as well. I thought he put himself in positions where off a quick, you know, rebound turnover, he was there ready to impact a one-on-one. Really good exiting kicks as well, I thought. Just provided such good contest around the ground and even took a really good aerial intercept mark in the third quarter, so showed a bit more of that leap and ability to come and crash a pack, and he held the mark as well, so he was terrific.
Lockie Jakes was one who I thought was really calm and a really important presence for Vic Country in the back line in the first half in particular. There were some moments where it was in general play and just had to mop up and find a target, was able to do so and showed his athleticism as well, took a really nice mark and he took a few really nice marks, but one in particular that showed his athleticism and his ranginess. And yeah, I thought he took another really positive step forward, the Geelong Falcons product. And Toby Trevallier is one who had a strong start with his competitiveness and his class, particularly aerially. I thought he dropped off a little bit, but I know you really liked his game.
Yeah, I did. He's a consistent mover out of that D50. Took a few good intercept marks as well, and he's got the speed, but he's got like burn off pace where he's got that first few steps of acceleration that really get him going and create separation out of nowhere, and he's got some space to move the footy. So thought he did it really well in the end, and again, kind of similar to Ivasic, set the bar really high in their first game and still feel like he backed it up pretty well. Move now to the WA boys, and I'll lead this one, lead this conversation. Cody Angrove, I thought, had a really productive champs in the end. This was the last one for WA. In terms of a work rate, probably one of the best for Western Australia. He's just got great pace, great work rate as well, and I thought generally the whole champs, his composure stood up and created a lot of goal opportunities. Luke Urquhart's one that, you know, we both take notice of as the champs went on. it was always his kicking that probably just let him down at times, but he's that contest beast for WA.
Yeah, yeah, no, he certainly is, and I think his work rate is something that you really do have to give a lot of credit to, because he puts himself in ball-winning positions. Once he finds that polish, he's going to be a really hard player to stop, so hopefully he does find that at some point. Malachi Champion was played down back, and that was a different challenge for him. He was a little bit quieter, but it was good to see him get involved at times, but certainly a quieter end to the championships compared to what we're used to, given a very different challenge. I thought Will Hayes was really good off half back. He set them up really well from the back, so that was good to see, and he took some really nice marks as well. But a lot of WA's transition work was set up by him. And then Wesley Wally as well stuck some really nice tackles and kicked a couple of really crucial goals for WA.
Yeah, for sure. I'll move to Hamish Davis now. Kicked 3-3 in the end and was super productive all day. His vision inside 50 was good when he pushed higher up the ground. He was able to convert well, I thought, for the most part. Probably the scoreline 3-3 doesn't seem like it, but I thought in the big moments he was able to to stand up and convert. And, yeah, his general positioning around the forward line was quite good. Bo Allen was probably the best for WA on the day. It never really felt like he was able to fully take grasp of one of these games, and I don't think that was a bad thing by any stretch. It was just finding form, I feel like, throughout the whole champs, and maybe this game was just a culmination of everything. He was able to get it together really well. Just footy smarts where he doesn't have to really be the main user in transition. He'll give it off in a really offensive way.
Yeah, exactly, through the corridor.
Yeah, like his patterns are really good. His thinking patterns are terrific. Tough in the contest. His offensive running was great. His explosiveness was terrific. So he did end top for our votes for WA. So still super productive.
And I thought the one that we have to give a shout out to, Cale Guerin, when WA were coming late, particularly in that last quarter, he was one who stood up, took some really important contested marks, and was a big part of that push to try and get them that come from behind victory. Obviously, it came up short, but through no fault of his own, Cody Curtin, another one who we've talked about throughout the champs, you've liked him, but he had another good day in defence.
Oh, he certainly did. I reckon, he's a bottom major, so I reckon next year he'll be definitely up there, similar to what his brother was it last year Dan Curtin. Feels like it was not that long ago, where his brother Dan still hasn't played yet, and hopefully he will before the end of the year. But Cody's on a great track, and Clancy Dennis is the last one to talk about. He got our 5 votes in the end. He was superb in defense for WA, just really similar to Taru, put his body on the line, took some good intercept marks. His physical presence was terrific. He was clean out of D50. And, it's just his kicks always felt like they had some movement to them and got things moving out of the back line. So that wraps up WA and Vic Country. Vic Country play Allies this weekend on Sunday afternoon up in Brisbane. And if they win that, we were talking about this before. So if they win grand final, if they draw, it's still a grand final, but they have to win.
Yep.
But if they lose, they have to beat Metro by 100 points, pretty much.
So it's effectively Metro,
Two grand finals, pretty much, for Vic Country. Now, SA and Vic Metro, it was almost a carbon copy of the WA game for Metro. Just looked like they were going to give him a challenge and then said, you know what, we're much better than you guys, and put the foot down.
It probably came a little bit earlier in this game that they put the foot down, but that first half was a really intriguing one. So the final score, 15-11-101 to 7-7-49. And again, we'll go line by line. We'll start with Murphy Reid off the top. He was the main talking point to come out of this game. We've talked about his poise and efficiency throughout the last 18 months, really, ever since he burst onto the scene. That's been what stood out. And he just has a way of buying time in traffic, and he did it again on the weekend. And he's so clean from the contest as well. So his ability to get the ball to his boot really quickly is what allowed him to impact the scoreboard, kicked 3 goals. And he's just so opportunistic inside 50. I think I've had question marks in the past about whether he can go forward and impact, but he certainly has shown in the last month, and the culmination of it was on the weekend, that he can do that really well.
To not repeat what you just said, I have a question. Do you reckon he has the best footy IQ in the draft? Because I certainly think
I think Tom McGuan's is better, but Tom McGuan's next year. So I think I would say he, without having any time to think about it, I'd say
If I compare him to Jagger, you know, decision making, I feel they play different roles. And since Jagger's got that real quick out of the stoppage, understands what's around him, but it's just he knows where everything is inside 50. It was superb. That was a real elite, like, it gets you into the top 15 game. That was how good it was.
I heard something that Dwayne Russell said when Collingwood was playing the Gold Coast, actually, on Saturday evening. He said that Nick Dacos reads a Sharon like it's a train timetable. He knows where it's going to be 2 minutes ahead of time. And I think there's a bit of that about Murphy Reid. So, no, it was a good call from it was Dwayne. That was when Dacos kicked that really good goal in the last quarter for Collingwood. Anyway, we digress. We digress. But, yes, Murphy Reid.
He's a good player.
Yeah, Murphy Reid's certainly a good player. I think also in the midfield, Tom Gross is one that we need to give a shout out to, because probably been a little bit critical of some of his decision making going forward in the first couple of games. And he went into the midfield in that third quarter when the game was there to be won, and was a big reason that Vic Metro were not only able to arrest SA's momentum, but able to get momentum going their way and essentially wrench the game away from SA.
I put my hand up. I've been super critical of him, especially his forward decisions. They have been, in a non-nicer term, selfish. They've been selfish in moments, and this game showed exactly how good he can be when it becomes a defensive mindset almost, and he's looking to move the ball with purpose up the ground. I thought he did that terrifically, and it was a real showcase of how good he can be. And I hope he's able to translate that into his next game against Country as well. His tackle pressure was terrific as well. And his setup behind the ball was good as well. Just always knew where to be in the right moments. And his kicking was good as well. So that was a real improvement on the past few games where he's shown glimpses. We know he's got that talent, but that was the real showcase of how good he can be.
Power and toughness personified. I think he also spent some time on the wing as well. So he spent some time higher up the ground as well as in the midfield. Levi Ashcroft was everywhere. It was a typical Levi Ashcroft performance, kicked a goal as well, but was a ball magnet and used it as effectively as he usually does. But the other couple, just to round off the midfield group, I thought Jagger Smith was a little bit quieter, and Josh Smiley was quieter as well. So we'd love to see a big finish to the champs from Josh Smiley, because we've seen what he's able to do in moments without him necessarily putting a full game together. He's obviously probably leading the race for that number one pick at the moment with the attributes that he does have, but just show that power and show it a little bit more. Jagger Smith was still pretty good by hand despite being quieter.
Yeah, it was weird not having Jagger in any discussions like throughout the game. And that wasn't to say he wasn't bad at all. He just was quieter than usual, I guess, when you're having 40 touches in both your first games. And I'd agree on the Smiley conversation. I think there's just another level he can go to, and whether he's just slowly building to the right point could be the case. But he's not playing bad. It's not that case. He's just...
We're still seeing those draftable attributes and we're still seeing why he's being touted as the number one pick, just more sporadically than what we'd probably like.
Forwards?
We move on to the forwards. I'll let you lead with Christian Moraes. You've been really high on him for a long time, but he took two contested marks that were really impressive. So on top of everything else in that first half, took two contested marks. That's not a feature of his game that we're particularly accustomed to, but if he's going to play that wing role, that overhead capacity is something that's becoming more important in the modern game for outside players, and to show that was really good to see. But he was polished and kicked some goals as well.
Yeah, I've been pretty high on most of his games lately. Even at Eastern level, I feel like he's just kind of, I wouldn't say floated under the radar, because he's still been one of the most productive on the field. It just feels like with the talent around him, he has a role that isn't as emphatic as he probably was used to last year, where he could play with a little more freedom. But he's been super productive on the outside. I love his forward moving patterns. He gets into really good spots inside 50 where he's, you know, he gets benefited from those decisions where he's free inside 50 a lot of the time. His kicks to advantage are great, and he even had, you know, that Christian Moraes goal where he runs in and laces it out from about 30 metres out. So two goals in the end as well. So I think he's been completely underrated. You know, when you come to discussions of, like, where does he sit within that, you know, top 10 or top 15, he's a very hard one to place at the moment, because it feels like others have come out with these new things, whereas with Moraes, I feel like
he showed it so early and now he's just shown a consistent block of form.
But he's not playing bad at all. Yeah. So it's he's an odd one to have a conversation about. And definitely when we review each player in another video, when the champs are done player by player, I think that'll be an interesting conversation to have for sure.
It certainly will. I think the next one we have to move to is Isaac Kakko. Yep. And I've just written next to him, and I text you as well, Bobby Hill. I just see Bobby Hill in him. And I think the cleanliness, the ability to just know where the goals are and be able to put the ball on his boot and understand the angles to be able to contort it through the goals is where the Bobby Hill comparison comes from. He's obviously so good overhead, clean below his knees, and he's selfless as well. And Bobby Hill has been noted for his selflessness this season. And Isaac Kakko, a couple of times, you thought he was going to kick a goal. There was one time where he was lining up from 50, ended up trying to hit Bailey McKenzie 20 out. And another time he was running into an open goal, tried to hit a teammate as well. So he's very selfless and just has all the attributes of a small forward, a la Bobby Hill. You mentioned that Bobby Hill might be a little bit more elusive. He's a slightly different build. So, yes, that's true, but I think there's some likeness to the way they play.
Yeah, no, I've got nothing to add to that. I mean, I said that he won't play a better game than what he did last time, but I think he almost matched it. Yeah, I mean, it was terrific. I'll move to Harry Armstrong, who we said last week he had moments where it felt like he probably went a bit undervalued in the end. And I thought this week he was able to definitely put another foot forward and state his case to why he's definitely in conversation. He was just, his leads were terrific. It was quick thinking on the move when he was going around contests. His one-on-one ability was great. And he converted in the end, finished with two goals. Yep. I was unsure. I think I just had him outside my five.
Finished with three goals.
Three goals. Sorry, yeah. I have two on here. I tell it to myself. But yes, three goals. He just was outside my five, but he was in your five, and he definitely was. Yeah, in that conversation for sure.
I had him as my second best on ground, just with that presence that he brought, that contested marking that you talked about, and the body positioning. I thought that's as good as I've seen him play, and the sort of player he is, he has the attributes that match it. So you talk about some other players who play like a key forward, but they might be a little bit undersized. How's that going to translate at the next level? I think he plays exactly what his size demands in the modern game, and I think that's going to lend itself really well come November. So he's one to keep a really close eye on because he's building in a hurry. A couple of others just to touch on the bottom ages, Archie Ludewig and Louis Emmett. I thought Archie Ludewig was excellent. He's one that's going to be in number one pick conversations next year. Yes, he's not there at the moment. You're talking about Willem Dersma, but when you're 199, 200 centimetres and taking contested marks like he is one that is going to be a close watch as the 2025 draft gets closer, and took some of those grabs in the championships game as well. And Louis Emmett held a really good account of himself against a highly regarded SA ruckman in Alex Dodson, who we'll talk about in just a second. We'll move on to the defenders though. Lenny Hoffman, I thought, was the best of the defenders, took three intercept marks and was a really trusty presence back there. Harry Oliver and Luke Traynor also having their moments, but Luke Traynor probably below his best.
Yeah, it was an interesting conversation with Luke Traynor in terms of if there's a game you want to see Luke Traynor play his worst in, it's that, but in saying that, he was still quite good. He just got out-muscled in a few one-on-one contests at times. That probably made his game look a bit average, but I still thought his efforts were there. His tackle pressure was there and his poise in D50, especially exiting. Probably had one bad kick I could recall, but otherwise, you know, you can forgive that given he's quite efficient out of D50. So I still thought he was quite productive. And Harry Oliver, yeah, I loved his first half especially. He was taking good defensive intercept marks, a few spoils, good pickups and just quick handballs to advantage and let your midfielders do the rest, and quieted off a little bit as the game went on, but I was still quite impressed with the way he went about it.
We'll move to the SA side of things now, and I'll start with Alex Dodson. I thought his work in the ruck was absolutely first class. He not only was excellent in terms of his hit-outs and hit-outs to advantage, but some of his presence around the ground, the contested marking and the clearance work was sensational. And shows why he's being talked about as a really well-regarded ruck in this year's crop, where key position players are always hard to come by, but they seem especially so in this crop. Tyler Welsh took some really nice contested marks and showed that he's got something about him just with his mongrel inside 50. And I also really liked the game of Benny Barrett, particularly in that first half, where it felt like everything he did turned to gold. He was either kicking goals, he kicked the first goal of the game, or he was setting up goals so clean below his knees, and his understanding of that role forward of centre was really strong.
Dodson's the only one I have very similar views in the sense I thought his ball skills were really good for a ruck as well. I thought below his knees he was quite efficient, and I agree with everything you said on there. Welsh, I'm not so big on. That's my kind of call at the moment, where his productivity isn't really there.
He's a moments player.
And but I don't know. He's not even converting. That's the issue as well. He only kicked one. He sprayed two others.
He did. He finished with one too. You're right. I just look at him and say, what can he become? And I just think he's got
that's
in him to become a very, very good player with his size.
Well, the thing with that though is his size, he's already built, quite built. Like, I don't think he's going to get, like when he gets to Adelaide, he's not going to get heaps bigger, right? That's why that's where my question marks are over him. He's not a bad, like he's definitely got, you can't not pick up a guy like that.
Yep.
But I think his development still, we were having this discussion, there's still a few players I'd take over him in a draft that I think offer a bit more versatility. And Benny Barrett, watched quite a lot of him at SAM for 18 level. He plays a lot of his time in the mid for South Adelaide.
Yep.
And he's snappy. He's a quick, pacey midfielder. His kicking lets him down quite a lot, but I thought in this game he was quite proficient with his kicking. Really good read of the play defensively, which I feel like I haven't seen a lot of that at club level. And his pickups are really nice. And hit the scoreboard. He's a very fun player to watch. I think there's just a little bit more. He just needs a little more poise with ball in hand and a bit more skill refinement. But otherwise, I agree with. Agree with what you said about Barrett.
Dyson Sharp, really good through the midfield. His clearance work was excellent. He set SA up. Unfortunately, didn't play the last quarter with an injury, but through the first three quarters, one of the most influential players on the ground. And Ben Campirelli was one whose work rate really stood out. And I know you kept a close eye on him and were quite high on his game.
Yeah, well, I'll finish off this SA boys. Dyson Sharp, if you talk about pick one next year, he'll definitely be in and around those conversations. I definitely think he's a top five prospect. He's just so fun to watch. And he's so solid under pressure as well. He's got that strength and that ability to work it out of the stoppages. Ben Camporelli was pretty good. And I always say when you take out his kicking, which is still needs a lot of work, those Camporelli boys have the best work rate. And I would argue this in the draft. They are such solid workers offensively and defensively. He was really clean by hand, hunted the footy well. So, he's still got a lot of growth left, but it was still a good game on his end. Sid Draper had some moments, probably wasn't a four-quarter performance from him, but had a really good goal assist in the second half where just, tapped it over. It was similar to Leo Lombard in the first game he kicked against SA. Like the way Cade Herbert went about it, really good kicking vision and his tackle pressure as well to stop transition on a couple occasions. Louis Montgomery, consistent worker up the ground, providing some presence, does that at club level as well. And Phoenix Hargrave, love watching him at Sandford 18s level. If you want to compare him to a talent league player in terms of competitiveness and defensive efforts and strength and all that, it's Ollie Hannaford, that type that always gives it. Gives you your all. So that wraps up SA and Vic Metro. That's it for SA and Vic Metro. Will look towards the Vic clash on the 14th of July at Icon Park. Sick. So now moving on to the girls. And this wasn't too pretty in all honesty. And Metro really flexed their muscles. They got up by 94 points, 113-19, the Allies. I'll let you kick it off with some Metro girls.
Yeah, well, we'll start up front where I think it was Georgie Brisbane and Emma McDonald who really took the game away from the Allies. Obviously, it was one in the centre, but Georgie Brisbane and Emma McDonald, their ability to convert, both of them finished with multiple goals. I think four goals each. But Georgie Brisbane in that first half in particular, her contested marking was so good to see. She was a co-captain of the team and she showed all of her attributes, which was so good to see because she's probably been a little bit hot and cold to start the talent league season and has started to build. She was okay in that AFLW Academy versus under 23 All-Stars game. And then this is as good a game as we've probably seen her play at talent league and or Vic Metro level. So that marking and that conversion was excellent. And she's going to be really hard to stop throughout these championships.
Yeah, for sure. Her contested marking ability has just been terrific, and yep. and to see her really thrive in that situation as well, didn't seem to have an issue. Probably had a few undesirable moments at times close to goal where yeah. she would have wanted back, but otherwise that is such a way to kick off your championships and have all eyes on you. I'm glad they get to play SA later in these championships. I think that is the test for all of them, really. Can you stand up against probably the best team in the champs alongside Queensland, who they don't get to play, but that was super from her.
5 goals for Georgie Brisbane, 5 goals, 1, and 4 goals, 3 for Emma McDonald. I'll let you talk about Emma McDonald's contested marking.
Yeah, well, she's that good at it, isn't she? She still squanders. I said she makes hard things look easy, but sometimes she can make easy things look hard, Emma McDonald. I reckon she could have easily kicked 3 or 4. She misses some easier opportunities, I reckon, but it's that productivity inside forward 50 where she's able to read the ball coming in and take a really strong mark. And even she had a goal assist at one point over the top, you know, just analysing what's around her. Yeah. And I think she's got better at that as the year has gone on. I mean, she had a really there was a poor kick inside 50 where she looked to go over the top. It gets intercepted, but she follows that up and she tackles and wraps up the defender for holding the ball. So
yep.
things like that, second effort, thought she was terrific.
I thought the best on ground, and the biggest surprise packet was Grace Ballany. We obviously have seen Emma McDonald, and we know that Georgie Brisbane has the traits, even if she has been a little bit hot and cold, whereas Grace Ballany took her game to another level on the weekend. She finished with the 4 goals. She was a marking presence. She was really efficient going inside 50, made the right decisions, and was one who really capitalised on Vic Metro's advantage and was a big part of why that advantage was so great.
Everywhere she was, up the ground, inside 50, she was taking a mark. It was just yeah. awesome. I reckon that was easily her best outing of the year so far. And the way she was working, her work rate was terrific as well. Quick vision inside 50 as well. She would take a mark and move it inside 50 really quickly. So little things like that, and 4 goals, was that is a terrific finish in the end. I mean, that's
for a half forward as well, third forward. She's, you know, the other two were the main targets in there. Chloe Bowne was another one who, as a bottom major, was really impressive. She's one who connected going forward really well. So when there was transitional play, she was part of it, and she was the one setting up Grace Ballany, setting up Georgie Brisbane, putting it on a platter for Emma McDonald, and her work was outstanding, I thought.
Yep.
Her work rate as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Also had a really, really nice finish from 30 metres out as well to finish the day with a goal, but super efficient and super smart with the way she played her footy.
Stacia Stevenson's pressure was really good. I thought that she was able to win a lot of her own footy as well, and in the contest she was impressive, and Georgia Knight brought energy to the front half. We know she's done it at Eastern Rangers level. She always generates lots of opportunities, and she was able to capitalise and show her wares on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. She's one that has definitely been under the radar as the year has gone on, and has been super productive. And her tackle pressure, I loved. Her vision inside 50 was terrific as well. So apologise, my voice is getting a bit croaky. I need a bit of water, but there is no water here, but we continue.
No, that's okay. We move to the midfield now. Sophie Mackay, I thought, was the best. Her clearance work was excellent. So she was one, particularly in the first half, who really set up that ascendancy for Vic Metro. And we know she's the Carlton father-daughter prospect. She's so efficient and really composed and releases teammates, makes the right decisions, and she's so clean off the ruck's hands.
Yeah, well, glad she is heading to the Blues. She's been terrific. She's one who lifts and rises to the occasion quite often. She does play as well as what's around her, it feels like. And that was on show again, her composure under pressure. The only thing I'd question with her at times is her second efforts. I feel like at times she'll ball watch a little bit and maybe miss that opportunity to go in and make a pressure act. But that's not always. That's just sometimes. She was productive inside 50 to get herself in good spots, good leads to advantage, and her burst as well out of the centre stoppage at times is really good.
Abby Vecino's work rate was really good. She had a really busy start to the game, and her kicking efficiency was really good. Sierra Greaves' game I really liked. I thought she was really clean. Her clearance work was really good. Her acceleration away from traffic was really important, and she played with great confidence. So her ability to take small steps early and then accelerate away and find a way through her opposition was on show on the day. So having performed so well at Western Jets level, it was good to see her do it in a higher class environment.
Yeah, for sure. Loved the way she – the composure out of D50 was good as well, strong hands around the ground. So a lot of girls who I thought stepped up to the occasion,
yep,
compared to, you know, going from that talent league level to champs level.
Just a couple more I want to touch on. Josephine Bamford spent some time in the ruck, probably one who hasn't necessarily received the attention this year of some others, but I thought it wasn't necessarily a ruck work, but she put herself in positions a few times to take some intercept marks, or understanding of where to position herself around the ground was really strong. And then Sarah Pousty as well. I thought she was super unlucky, yeah, not to get into my top five, because she puts herself in such dangerous positions behind the footy to then capitalise when the ball comes her way and then send it forward to her team's advantage really ambitiously, and her risks often come off as well. So she took some nice marks, is always courageous, and her physicality is really good as well. But we'll move to the allies now. Priya Bowring was probably the best on ground, just her bankability. We've seen it at Tassie Devils level, and she worked hard again and racked up plenty of the footy. She's just so smart and understands where to stand at stoppage and how to move through stoppage to win the footy, not only to get the disposal, but to dispose of it effectively.
Yeah, 100%. She was consistently reliable for Allies on quite a tough day, one you could rely on to move through the middle and get the ball moving. And they did actually have periods of possession, Allies. Yeah. It wasn't like they had nothing. They were just struggling to really capitalise when they did get it forward, but she was always there.
Maddie Quinn, the bottom-aged Sydney Swans Academy prospect, I thought was pretty good. It was more of a glimpses game from her rather than a full four-quarter performance, but her ball use, she finished with the 9 disposals, was quite strong, and her tap work to the likes of Priya Bowring was really good as well. Another one she tapped to was Lucy Thompson, who showed her power on the day. Only finished with the 11 possessions, but it felt like a fair bit more than that, and I thought particularly her first 3 quarters was really good, and she showed that she was able to get out of traffic and kick it to her teammates' advantage with purpose.
I'll talk about Ashley Patton. I thought her hands in the contest were really good. Separation off opponent at times, she had that strength. Her kicking inside 50 was really good, and hit the scoreboard as well from a really good snap out of a stopping inside 50.
Yeah, from limited opportunities, I thought she was really good. Obviously, the Allies didn't have much of the ball in their forward 50. Imogen Brown was one whose kicking efficiency probably lets her down at times, but her speed and her tenacity with her tackling is where her game is built around. So that closing speed, a few rundown tackles, and when she gets the ball, she's just able to take off because of that speed. Someone like Azali Gallagher, I'd liken her to in the talent league, who does have that combination of defensive will and pressure and also speed. So one to keep an eye on for Sydney Swans fans. You were really high on the games of Emma Stark, a bottom-aged Northern Territory prospect, and Emma Genesia, a Sydney Swans Academy girl.
Yeah, Emma Stark, part of the Oakley girls as well. So she's been playing pretty consistent at Oakley as well. Good movement inside 50, I thought. Had a really good set shot to just get them on the board early on in the game, and her second efforts were there as well. And Emma Janaja, yeah, her bounce and sprint out of D50 is something you really notice. She was, yep, their barometer. It felt like all day you had Bowering in the middle, and felt like out of D50 she was getting in the right spots. She had poise in her movement going offensively, so thought she stood up when you know times were tough.
And just a quick word on Emily Martin as well.
Yeah, I thought she was well poised. Another one where the second efforts were definitely there, hunted the footy really well. And another one that just stood up when things weren't really going their way. I thought she was able to do some really nice things.
That wraps up our wrap of that game, and the Girls' Championships continues this weekend, and Vic Country, yeah, are in action. So we look forward to seeing them, because I think they have some really good prospects, and one I'm really looking forward to seeing is how Zari Byrne goes in the ruck, because her development's been really quick this year for Gippsland. So she gets the opportunity, be interested to see how she goes. And obviously Sarah Howley, Ash Centra, there's so much talent in that Vic Country lineup.
Yeah. Well, they're heading up to play Queensland, which is, wow.
That is
the toughest assignment they will get. I'll be honest, if they can keep the margin less than 5 goals, that's a pretty good effort. They're absolutely stacked. It's interesting to see who they'll play on. Havana Harris up forward. They've got Dakota Barron. They're very stacked, Queensland. And Metro play their next game of the champs is the Vic Derby. They play after the boys on the 14th of July, Icon Park. So now, we said last week we couldn't watch any talent, yep, league because of the clash. We were going to run through the best,
yeah, best best
people on the stat
list.
Yeah,
I was actually able to catch a little bit of the Sandy Eastern game. I watched about 20 minutes of it before the Vic Metro game started. It was a little bit of an ugly day. Ollie Greaves was a class above, finished with 23 disposals and was really classy when he found the footy. Max Holt's building into some really nice form, a 19-year-old who's got some athleticism and presence up forward. Andrew Barker was one of Eastern's best as well, finished with some nice intercept possessions, was really good down back and marking presence. The best game he's played at the level of bottom major, who will keep an eye on going forward next year. Miles Tyra, the Sandy Ruck, Luke Kennedy and Jet Hayter all had moments. Calder defeated Northern to continue their strong form. Cooper Duff-Tytler, the basketballer who has captured some strong attention, was really good. He spent some time in the ruck, 13 hitouts and also 19 disposals. He's really clean with the ball in his hand as well. So he's a 199 centimetre player, one worth keeping an eye on going forward. Christian Lawson, the best for Northern, continuing his consistent block of form. And then in the Western Oakley game, Sam Grillage, who we both liked in pre-season, had his best performance of Coates Talent League so far. A Camberwell grammar boy, obviously on school holidays, so playing for Oakley, 26 disposals and a goal, a really smooth mover in traffic. Charlie Richardson was the only multiple goal scorer for Oakley and kicked the winning goal in a 55-54 result over Western, so it was good to see him take some marks on a tough day for Key Fords. Pat Reshko, 22 disposals and a goal, and then the best for Western was Tom McGuan, the father-son prospect next year for the Pies. Also worth touching on the fact that Blake Lidler and Tom Wenzel returned from injury, as did Hussein Kadour, who had an ACL and PCL rupture last year, the same incident, and was able to return. So a good story there for the 19-year-old. On the topic of injuries, we didn't touch before, Cody Anderson, all the best to him, had an ankle injury in the first game of his national championships. Hopefully we see him back for the Vic Metro versus Vic Country final. Nathan, tips?
I'm going to go for the girls.
Oh, you'll go through the girls.
Two girls games. John, yeah, they did this in very impressive fashion. They got up 83-48 against the Rangers. Georgia Tyrrell, 25 touches and 10 tackles for the Falcons. Sarah Howley with 22 touches as well. Isla Baldwin, 22 for the Eastern Rangers. And also Briley Anderson, the 2008-born talent. She kicked 2 goals and 21 touches for the Rangers. So pretty impressive outing. Murray, so close again, but went down by 7 points against the Rebels. They started slow, and that's what hurt them. They were down 19-1 at halftime, but then won the second half 13-1. So frustrating. I'm sure it hurts them inside the club as well, but they are very close. I reckon they will get one eventually. So Fair Green keeps leading for the Bushies with 27. Tyler Crabtree returns to the Rebels as a 19-year-old with 25 touches. Rain Dodd and Holly Egan productive. For the Bushies, Millie Lane with 20 touches and Isabella Davies with 19. So the tips, there's 2 games, same round for the girls, but 2 games, Western and Northern.
I'm going to go Northern.
Northern as well, and Sandy and Oakley on the Saturday.
Oakley.
Oakley as well. Quickly change into the boys, Northern and Sandy.
Sandringham.
Sandy for me, Gippy and Tassie.
Gippsland against a Tassie side that will be weakened by the loss of allies. Gippsland also weakened by the loss of their Vic Country boys.
Gippy as well. Dandy and Murray.
Dandenong.
Yeah, Dandenong, given it's at Shepley, and if it was at Wayne Grad, I'd probably back the Bushies. Oakley and Eastern.
Good question.
Yeah, it's this actually a hard one given
the players that'll be missing.
Yeah, well, we don't know who's going to be playing. Yeah. Like, we kind of said that with Oakley last week.
Yeah, I'm going to back the Rangers.
So will I. And actually, no, I just want to split for the sake of it. I'll go Oakley, but I do think Eastern will win. And Bendigo Rebels.
Bendigo to win at Mildura convincingly.
That'll be exciting for the Mildura boys. Again, we'll just split Rebels and Geelong Western.
Western to get the job done by 3 goals.
And I was going to say Geelong genuinely. So that wraps it up for the week. We will see a bit of Talent League next week. So, you know, back to regular program in that sense. We will see 2 champs games. So it is Allies Vic Country backed right after by Queensland and Vic Country Girls. So 2 to talk about there. Another big week. Make sure to check out our channels for some exciting things coming in the next month or so. So a lot to happen. Thank you all for watching. Tune into our socials for more, and we'll see you in the next episode.